Hello and welcome to Women in AI Breaking the Mold. I'm your host, Marissa Garenhill, and today I'm joined by Julia Nayani, VP of AI Research and Development at Parsia, a company using AI in pathology.
Hi, Juliana. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad, thank you. And thank you so much for being here. To start, could you just give us an introduction of your background?
Sure. So I'm the Vice President of AI Research and Development at Parsia. I've been with Parsia for 5 years, and I lead a team of scientists and engineers building AI software that supports labs and pathology practices. So pathology spans the diagnosis of diseases like cancer and the pharmaceutical research that shapes new treatments. So every time you get a biopsy taken, for example, it goes to one of these labs. And my team builds AI applications to help those pathology laboratories and research organizations improve both quality and efficiency using AI.
That's really interesting. Was like pathology something you've always been interested in? Like, I'm really just curious how your journey into AI is like. Like, when did you realize that was something you also wanted to do? Did the pathology come first? What came first, essentially?
Yeah. I actually didn't know about pathology early on, but I think my initial inclination to go into the healthcare space maybe started in high school at first. I always had an interest in technology and biology. And I was, you know, reading a lot of like science news articles that talked about some of the future medical applications of all sorts of things. Also AI just probably wasn't called AI at that time. But I was really, really interested in all of that technology. And so I knew I kind of wanted to go into the medical space. So I pursued a degree in biomedical engineering, and I was really enjoying that. And I had an internship in college in bioinformatics. And I was just really fascinated by the predictive power of data. And I thought, we have all this data from medical imaging that is going unused. And I thought we could learn so many things about what's going on inside the body, and that locked up knowledge is kind of just sitting there, and was just kind of in awe of like what could we do with it. I got really interested in medical imaging from that, and pursued a PhD in MRI. So I was doing MRI research at Vanderbilt and building optimization algorithms that could make the images better and make the scanning faster in these kinds of things, and was using some machine learning for that. But meanwhile, I was kind of seeing deep learning take off, and I just felt like I needed to be in on that. I needed in on the ground floor. And that's what led me to Parsia and to pathology. So Parsia was developing pathology AI applications, and it was just a really good fit. Was seeing the pace of adoption kind of accelerate in pathology in the past few years, and to being somewhere where I could build software that somebody was going to use, like a pathologist was going to use when I was done building it, was really motivating for me.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it's really interesting as well. Can you let us know about how you've grown in your career and if you have any advice for our listeners?
Sure. Yeah. I've taken a bit of an untraditional path. And so I think it's been really challenging and I would say very rewarding. I had no dreams at all, no aspirations of becoming a manager even back when I joined Parsia 5 years ago. I didn't ever imagine it was in my skill set. I was one of those people that like never even wanted to work on a group project, just not interested.
that's very relatable, yes.
Yeah. So I joined Parsia as a deep learning engineer, when there were less than 10 people at the company, which in hindsight was just a wild choice. I just picked up and moved from Nashville to Philadelphia to join the startup. But shortly thereafter, I was asked to help build a team out, and I wasn't going to turn that opportunity down. So I said yes, and it was a time where ProShow was going really quickly. The industry was growing really quickly. And so the company just kept growing and kept needing more and more from me in my role. And I would find that I was really kind of doing the work that was beyond my job description before I was promoted. I worked my way from that deep learning engineer position to senior scientist, to a director, and now vice president of AI research and development that way. And I think ultimately I was just seeing something that needed to be done each time. Like, I was like, hey, somebody needs to do this. And then I would start doing it. And then I would sort of be like, you know, waving my arms, shouting, I'm doing this job. Can we make it official?
Yeah, but that's usually how it goes, isn't it? Starting small, yeah. And then just seeing everything else you can do, and then suddenly you just find yourself a VP.
Yeah, that's what it has felt like.
No, that's really interesting though. Is there anything you can pinpoint as like the biggest challenges you've faced in this journey you've had, or that you're still facing?
Yeah. Honestly, I think it's just been finding my voice has been the biggest challenge. So I used to get just so incredibly nervous anytime I had to speak in front of a group at all. Like everything would shut down.
Also relatable. Yes.
Yeah. I think a lot of people have this, but I've just always been that way ever since I can remember. Like one time I was asked to give a talk that I had been practicing for. And so I knew the material, but I was put on the spot, and it was probably like a good 30 seconds before I could get a word out. like it was mortifying. But I've just really put in a lot of practice and been like thrown into a lot of situations where I just had to speak. And so now I'm pretty comfortable in most situations. I won't say all of them, nervous to be here.
Oh, but you're doing a great job. And that's really how we get over it. We just do it and do it over and over. And then suddenly we're talking to very big groups of people and everything is fine.
Right. Yeah. You just have to do it sometimes. So.
That is true. On the other hand, like, what have you found that's really excited you the most about AI?
Yeah. Well, it's a really great time to be in AI. I think there's been a lot of new advancements coming out on like literally a daily basis. I wake up in the morning and there's, you know, a series of announcements that I'm trying to catch up on. So that feels pretty cool to be in the industry at this time. And it's just fun to feel part of something that feels like a pretty big event in history of technology. I like building technology that helps people, and it just feels like there's so much possible that might otherwise feel like magic if we didn't know how it worked. It's not magic, but it feels that way. And you know, we have the ability to build all these tools that solve a lot of very, very important challenges for people, for medicine. And that can indirectly or directly open up new treatments that don't yet exist and things like that. And just thinking about that stuff is pretty cool.
Yeah, and I think especially in your industry with medicine, AI is just doing so much nowadays. It's incredible what they can do. now with like even with cancer cells and just imaging. It's really exciting. Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about the work you're doing right now?
Sure. So maybe for your audience, I'll give a little bit of background on pathology first. So pathology is a central field of medicine. It's the way that much of diagnosis and treatment happens, all the way from researching new possible drugs to diagnosing things like cancer to predicting which patients might be best treated with which new therapies. And many pathology labs have been doing their work still the same way that it was done 150 years ago, by looking at biopsies on physical glass slides, like the ones you had in high school biology class. And today, though, labs are starting to realize the power of AI and the benefits of having their tissue samples digitized. So instead of glass and a microscope, you now have a scanner and a computer screen. And so we deal with those scanned images of the tissue at ProSha. ProSha's AI-ready concentric platform is powering the work of those diagnostic laboratories and research teams. And so my team is building AI applications that plug into the concentric platform that fall into two categories broadly. So the first one is for diagnostic testing. One example of that is DermAI, which is currently for research use only, but it categorizes images of skin tissue biopsies and helps to route the case to the most appropriate pathologist. So it also flags suspected melanoma cases, so skin cancer lesions, and helps the pathologists in prioritizing them so that those cases can get a second look or a second stain ordered or whatever it is that the pathologist needs to get more information about the case. And those things are things that might normally make them take longer on a case. So that's where that application is aiming to help, is making them more efficient. And then the second broad category is process automation tasks. Things that sort of ease the burden of some of the really time-intensive steps in lab workflows. So one example of that is our automated quality control application. So there can be all sorts of issues with the images of slides that get scanned. and there can be things that happen in the process of preparing the tissue, placing it on the slide, staining, and digitizing it. So those can be things like the tissue folds over on itself, and you can't see, you can't distinguish things that you need to distinguish, or things that come from a scanning process, like there's a blurry region in the image. So normally labs have to kind of go through and visually inspect these images and maybe rescan some of them, maybe re-prepare some of the tissue if they find issues. And our quality control application helps them do that a lot more efficiently. So kind of generating overlays and allowing them to see where there are issues kind of early on in the process, so that it's not, it's not a delay to any of the studies they're doing or any of the patients that they're trying to evaluate.
Fantastic. Thank you. And what challenges do you encounter when you're building AI for pathology? And if you can also say a bit of like what steps you've taken to overcome any of these challenges as well.
Sure. Yeah. It's kind of hard to choose. there are lots of challenges. But I think these days the data has been a pretty big challenge. It always has. So as a scientist working with pathology data, you're often working with something that you yourself are not trained to see. Like, it requires this kind of visual expertise. So that's often a challenge versus developing some other applications outside healthcare. And we typically combat that by like learning as much as possible about the domain and doing a lot of other data visualization. But also because it requires that expertise, you also face a ton of disagreement in the ground truth data when building for pathology. And we actually presented at an ECCB workshop recently on our work on dermatopathology, so skin diseases, that showed how often there's disagreement among experts on a diagnosis of melanoma, for example, and it's around 40%, which is like crazy. So it's very challenging to develop applications in the context of that sort of subjectivity in ground truth. And we've done a lot of work to try to combat that issue from building models that sort of hack at it using multitask learning to actually building a model that would predict the level of disagreement in the ground truth by training it on different diagnoses from different pathologists for the same image.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for letting us know about that. Switching a little bit now into the future of at least like AI in medicine / pathology, what do you think AI can revolutionize even more?
I think that I'm particularly excited to see its impacts in healthcare and in pathology alone. I think it's going to make labs a lot faster at developing new treatments and therapies. And that can mean that conditions that currently have no treatment are eventually able to be addressed. I think it's going to change the way we diagnose as well, so that that process will be more standardized, more accurate, less of that subjectivity, and a lot faster as well. So ultimately, a lot of good news for patients. But yeah, I think there's so many things that it will revolutionize for us. It's hard to imagine them all.
Yeah, those are very good things already that you've mentioned. I think if we could get to a place where patients get faster care, that would be very good as well. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So just to finish us off, do you have any tips for other women that are thinking maybe about working in AI and they're not sure? Just anything you'd like to add?
Yeah. First of all, do it. we really need you. There aren't too many of us. But I think there's a lot of exciting things to work on. And I would say don't give up on finding your niche and the right people to work with. And just practice confidence. I think that a lot of people don't come in with the confidence that they should have, that they deserve to have. So however you got where you are, you know, you earned the right to be there. You did. And your voice deserves to be heard. So kind of just put your thoughts out there and start getting that feedback that lets you learn and grow, lets those around you learn and grow. You kind of never get that by sitting in the corner and letting everyone else talk over you. And they will happily do that all day. but just put yourself in the conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that. And yeah, we'll wrap things up for now. Juliana, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. And before we end things, I just thought I'd add, if our listeners want to get in touch with you or they have some questions about what you're doing, what's the best place for them to find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Julianalog. That's JULIANNALOG. And I'm also on LinkedIn, Juliana Dashiani.
Thank you. And I hope everyone's written that down. And thank you so much again, Juliana, for being on the podcast.
Appreciate it.